I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. I got to tell you, I've been laughing in the studio since, if you're listening on the podcast, you won't know what I'm talking about, but they just did a news story. Jim Thorne did a news story about some guys who happen upon a car that says free car and the keys are in it, so they get in and start and head out for a joyride, and then they decide to take a look in the trunk and they find a body there. I mean, no disrespect to the deceased. I could end up in a trunk somewhere. It's not really the fate I envision or desire for myself, but at the same time, what free car? That's just, you know, I think I'd be a little suspicious with the free car note. The trunk checking might be the first thing. I have to admit, during the story, I was thinking maybe heroin was in the trunk and they was transporting it. But we got quite a little society running here these days, don't we? Was talking to somebody last night about the movie Idiocracy. Again, I know I keep referencing it, but I think it's the piece for our times. If you've not seen Idiocracy, you can go find it for free on YouTube. You've got to see this thing. I'm telling you, I dare you to watch it and not start thinking to yourself, oh my God. I think the year in that movie, it's set in the future. It explains, maybe I'll play it later on, the intro to it, it explains exactly what happened. Essentially, the smart people don't procreate, and the really, really dumb people do procreate. And I think the year was 2500 or something like that. I got to tell you, I don't know what's going on. The difference is, the problem is, the premise of that movie, you know, is kind of a natural selection type thing. It's the intelligent, successful people. They're too busy working and achieving things to have children, so they put it off. They don't have kids. While the other people, and we know we've got a welfare system that pays you extra money for more kids, and so essentially that kind of swamps the system. Now we've got a lot of smart people that are good functioning members of society. They've just lost their ever-loving minds over the last 18 months to 3 years. I don't know what's happening, but it's been accelerating. And I'm going to kind of get into that in just a second here, and not so much in the comedy realm of it with Idiocracy, but with something called the Fourth Turning. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Later on in the show, I got some insider information on hospital profits last night. I'm not going to give it away, but let me just say that this pandemic is going to be with us for a while. So quit sitting on your hands and waiting like some NPC out there. Tomorrow morning, there's a Rankin County School Board meeting at 7:30. You should be there to get your kids out of the mask. I'm telling you. This thing's not going anywhere anytime soon. That there was no 2 weeks to flatten the curve, as we know. We're in day, what? We're probably in about day 612 of 14 days to flatten the curve. Let me tell you, this is going to be with us for years. Wait till you hear these hospital profit numbers that are coming in. I want to remind everybody, too, if you do want to get off your can and dedicate 1 hour a week, I know it's a lot. You could be scrolling Instagram for that hour. I hate to take that away from you, but if you want to give an hour a week, Americans for Prosperity, starting tonight, 1 hour for six Tuesdays, 1 hour each Tuesday, is doing their kind of activist training, where I believe there's a lot of people out there. We know the radical left is very good at organizing. We know Antifa can slap together a dozen or so meth heads in a moment's notice to go out and try to hit people with bike locks, but on the right, you do not have a whole lot of people who know what to do to oppose the tyranny that you're seeing in our schools or our cities. So Americans for Prosperity is actually doing an activist training. It's tonight at 6 o'clock in the Woodlands. You can go to Americans for Prosperity Foundation, Mississippi, on Facebook, I believe it is. Find out the details of that. I'll be there. I believe some of the Madison moms, maybe some of the Rankin County moms and dads are going to go to this activist training to learn how to start fighting back against this stuff. We need it. And then later in the show today, we're going to get into the new fear phrase of the day. I've got my quotes of the day. We'll also implemented the fear words of the day. The new fear phrase of the day is killed more than the Spanish flu. Killed more than the Spanish flu. Did you hear this yesterday? The COVID numbers, they're saying, are killing more Americans than the Spanish flu did. Well, we're going to examine that claim using their own publications against them. It's a bunch of garbage, and we'll show you what I mean about that. I have not read The Fourth Turning. I want to talk about The Fourth Turning, but I guess I need to read the book first. My son actually gave it to me for Christmas. And I've been struggling because I end up doing so much research for this show and reading so much. I'm struggling to finish my book about the 1929 stock market crash. Fascinating book. But Fourth Turning is next on my list. But I've got some quotes, and I'm going to read you a little something about an article about the Fourth Turning, because it does feel like we may be there. This is a famous book written by Strauss and Howe. And I'm compelled to read it just because there's so many references to it. And essentially, the Fourth Turning is about every 80 years or so, which would be four generations of people, a generation being around 20 years. It's not specific to a date or anything, but it's about every 80 years. We enter this period of true upheaval, and the way they document this through is 1776, and then you head into the Civil War, then you get into World War II, and now we are where we are now. It is a little eerie. They may be onto something. Some quotes for that. At home and abroad, these events will reflect the tearing of the civic fabric at points of extreme vulnerability, problem areas where Americans will have neglected, denied, or delayed needed action. This book was written in, I believe, 1998. Problem areas where America will have neglected, denied, or delayed needed action. I think most of us understand we have delayed a lot of needed action. I want to sit around and watch comedies. I want to meet people out and have a drink. I want to watch some SEC football. I want to spend some time with my kids. This is what I want to do. I got to tell you, we've all got to carve some time out for addressing these things we have either neglected, denied, or delayed needed action on. Playtime is over. It's unfortunate. I don't want to live through this. My father, who recently passed away at 90 years old, boy, did he live in the golden era of all of humanity. Born in 1930 into the Great Depression, but he was a kid. He was a toddler. He doesn't remember that. That was for the grown-ups then. He comes out of the Great Depression and becomes an adult, does 35 years with Delta Airlines, has one job, a pension, full benefits, and was there for most of the rapid ascendancy of the United States. By the time the United States, around 2000, seems to have peaked and started her decline, my father was retired. Didn't really have a lot to do. He really nailed it, but those of us still around now, we don't have that luxury, I don't believe. Here's some other stuff from this article on the Fourth Turning. They are using our willful ignorance, technological bread and circuses, inability to understand risk, and susceptibility to fear exploitation to increase their power and control over government, financial, and societal levers. They want us undereducated and over-medicated. That is how they broaden their wealth, power, and control. And as I go through this, feel free to call in and tell me where any of this is at all wrong. An overhyped pandemic with a scary name and an unlimited marketing campaign was just what the doctor ordered to set the Build Back Better Great Reset plan in motion. He gave Powell, that's Jerome Powell, and the Federal Reserve, cover to unleash trillions in electronic money printing to sustain and enrich their Wall Street owners, billionaire oligarchs, and politicians spending trillions to prop up an economy they purposefully shut down. And when I tell you the numbers later, we're going to add to the money printing to sustain and enrich their Wall Street owners, billionaire oligarchs, and politicians. Let's go ahead and add hospitals, too. Just wait till I get to those numbers. And this piece goes on to say the mandatory lockdowns and mask mandates were tests to see how far they could push the masses before they pushed back. The oligarchs were delighted to observe millions of losers who had no meaning in their worthless earthly existence thus far believe that they were now brave, noble heroes by cowering in their basements, ordering takeout from Taco Bell, watching Netflix, and putting on a face diaper in public, even though Fauci and every scientific study ever done proved masks are worthless against viruses. That's a soft opening for the show, isn't it? This is where we are. This is where we are. And I'm going to read back to the very beginning of that. They are using our willful ignorance, technological bread and circuses, inability to understand risk, and susceptibility to fear exploitation to increase their power and control over government, financial, and societal levers. They want us undereducated and over-medicated. That's how they broaden their wealth, power, and control. This is a good day for me to read this as I head into activist training tonight at 6 o'clock with Americans for Prosperity, because I got to tell you, if you want to stop any of this stuff, you better get motivated. You better get active. And in my mind, one of the most pressing things is kids that are trapped in these masks, which, again, we will break down later on today within this context of the idea that the current pandemic has killed more people than the Spanish flu. You're going to hear that a lot. And I'll tell you why. I think that's a bunch of bunk. I will say this about the fourth turning. There is a beauty to it. It can be a rebirth. It doesn't mean we don't go through some tough times, but all of us, probably everybody listening to me that's over 40 years old in particular, we deserve it. We deserve the pain that is coming because we allowed the problems to fester. We did nothing. We looked the other way. We went to the ballot box and voted every 2, 4, and 6 years really, really hard. And the rest of the time, we just sat back and waited for our next political hero or savior to come save the day. It hasn't worked for the last 50 years, yet that's all most people did. So we deserve the pain that we're going to go through. We should go through it sooner rather than later so we clear out all of the problems and leave our children a viable, sustainable country instead of allowing them to continue to kick the can down the road. But with the fourth turning, there is a beginning. There's a first turning after that, and it is a sense of renewal, and you get back to a more hopeful track. This is the ugly part, and it can last for a while. It's not a weekend event. But it certainly feels like the wheels are rattling. They're wobbling. So if we regain control, better days can lie ahead. But in the meantime, unless you want to see this thing really, really take a dark turn and turn a fourth turning into a long, long, long slog that will engulf your children as well, people need to start getting active, not just talking about it, not just sitting around whining and blaming everything on one mentally addled occupant in the White House right now. That's getting you nowhere. You need to start getting active. They say you better listen to the wise side of reason, but they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told. Here's a fun little story. I don't know if you've seen this. A lot of people saw the story about the melee between some patrons of a restaurant and the hostess in New York City. Now, I don't know what went down there. I've seen the video of the altercation. These three women basically attacked a hostess. We don't know, or at least I have not seen anything that went on before that to know exactly what the scenario is. I certainly don't approve or recommend attacking any store employee because of their, you know, mask requirement or vaccine requirement or anything. I know some of them are very annoyingly enthusiastic about enforcing these ridiculous rules. It's very aggravating. But again, these people are victims. It's hard to see them that way. I know, believe me. I ran into a woman at the Ridgeland Library, a young girl. A young girl with a good BMI, at zero risk of COVID, walking around the library to make sure everybody had their mask up over their nose. It was the last time I was in the library. And I really like the Ridgeland Library. It's so quiet. You can get some work done there. But there was this altercation. So Black Lives Matter, not an organization I'm a supporter of in any way, shape, or form, but I just find this a little funny. I just think it's a fun little story for people to consider. Black Lives Matter is taking up the cause of these three women who were arrested after this altercation. Again, I think that was a ridiculous thing to do. There's no telling how annoying the hostess was, but really it doesn't require this. Understand that, you know, really, this is what it comes down to. If people would wake up to this, white, black, young, old, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, have you ever noticed that orders go out from people behind big walls and they get the little people to carry them out? Have you noticed this? It wasn't John McCain or Lindsey Graham or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama in the sand in the Middle East fighting and dying for nothing. It wasn't them. They sent out our troops. It's not Anthony Fauci who's sitting at a hostess table having to interact with the public and force them to leave an establishment because they haven't had haven't participated in the grand experiment, or to force them to wear masks. No, Anthony Fauci says it with his $500,000 a year salary and his police escort, his media appearances, his lavish lifestyle. He puts out the word and he forces the hostess out there to carry out the orders. Have you noticed that the elites always put somebody else on the front lines? They dictate that restaurants can only have 25% capacity from behind the big walls, and then they force the restaurant owners to enforce this lest the police or the health department come and make a visit to that restaurant and find them. Even the health inspectors are forced out there. Guys making $40,000 a year are the ones that have to go and talk to the restaurant owner and threaten to put them out of business, always risking a good fat punch in the face. They don't come up with the policies. They're just one of the little people put out there to enforce it. Even police. Police have been tasked with enforcing ridiculous rules and unconstitutional things like helmet laws and seatbelt laws. Not to mention the war on drugs. They put them out there in harm's way because a bunch of people behind big walls, behind security, who ride in the back of armor-plated SUVs make decisions and then force the cop out there into the streets to enforce it. This was a statement from Black Lives Matter about this situation with vaccine passports in New York City. Quote, I believe that this New York City vaccine passport will be used to keep black people out of spaces, and if we don't stop it now, then the police will use it as an excuse to harass and arrest our people. Well, I got to tell you, it's not a racial issue. They are trying to deperson me as a heroic member of the control group, risking my life every day as an unvaccinated American just so that we can get some good data. I mean, I just think I'm a hero to risk my life in this way, but there's no appreciation for that. This, of course, is not a racial issue. But to the black community, I would say, yeah, do you hear us now? It's like the phone commercial. Do you hear me now? I got a notification yesterday somebody sent me this new policy from the Department of Education and some of these other places. They're really trying with the vaccines to get some equity in the distribution of the vaccines. Translation, they're coming after the young black kids in education. They're setting up vaccine rollout, what do they call them, vaccine clinics out there. But they're targeting, I need to pull it up and see so I can say it, but it's a whole lot of flowery language. You know, people who just don't have access to transportation or socioeconomically challenged or in areas of large minority populations. And again, translation, they're setting up these experimental vaccine shops in the black community, in the brown communities out there for equity. And the black community seems to have, they're not uptaking the vaccine, I'll give them that, but they love the mask. Seems like the black community is really on board with the mask. I'm really surprised, again, at the lack of recent historical experience of the black community to accept all this totalitarianism, save the bright spots like Nicki Minaj, who sees through this stuff, apparently. She's getting more radicalized by the pushback she got from the left on her even daring to say she's still considering and researching the shot. But anyway, so Black Lives Matter is understanding that this vaccine passport will be used as a tool of discrimination and control. Of course, they get it completely wrong when they think this is another racial issue, because to Black Lives Matter, everything is racial. But maybe they will inspire some of their followers to understand what a horrible, horrible idea this mandated vaccine is. And again, you know, I know a lot of conservatives are shouting, yeah, this is what they voted for. This is what the Black Lives Matter group voted for when they voted for Joe Biden, when they voted for Kamala Harris, when they voted for these Democrat governors and Democrat mayors. And you're exactly right. You're getting exactly what you voted for. This is why I tell you, these people you keep voting for on either side of the aisle, they do not love you. They do not care about you. So hang up any hopes you have on voting. But anyway, Black Lives Matter, realizing that the vaccine passports are a method of control and discrimination. Welcome to the club. It's not racial, but you're right. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Project Veritas has got out a new video. As usual, it's terrible for radio. That is definitely a visual medium. I don't think I've ever played a Project Veritas clip because, you know, it's subtitled. I mean, it's undercover video stuff, but if you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It is kind of hidden camera conversations with nurses, particularly in one hospital. A federal government, someone who works for Health and Human Services, has come out and just kind of blown the whistle on the fact that there are these adverse reactions to vaccines that the, and they've got a doctor on one of the things where he just refuses to admit it was the vaccine. The nurses and doctors that are in these videos say that they won't report these things to VAERS. Tragic, tragic story about one woman who worked at the hospital, did not want to take the shot, tried to exercise a religious exemption, yielded to the pressure, got the shot, immediately into the hospital, and died days later. And these things are not being reported to VAERS. It's very illuminating. It's part one. I don't know if it's still up on YouTube. I mean, I must have gotten it from 10 people last night. Texted me this thing, and I love it. That's not any kind of a knock. Thank you very much to each and every one of you that sent it, because I want to see these things, and everybody knows I'm terrible at social media, so I'm just not in those worlds. I kind of count on you to forward things to me by email or whatever. So Project Veritas got part one out. I don't know if it's still up on YouTube or not. I went ahead and, you know, that's one of those things when you see any kind of whistleblower things around the ridiculous COVID hysteria, you better watch it quick, unless it's on Rumble or one of these outside platforms. You see a YouTube link, jump on it. You've got hours. The clock is ticking immediately. I don't know if they've taken it down already or not, but Project Veritas, I'm sure you can go to their webpage and see this. It's 6-6 stuff. And we, you know, There's a lot of us out here scratching our heads going, what exactly is going on? Why are the doctors participating in this? The doctors know masks don't work. They've known it for decades. Any doctor that's got any experience wasn't wearing a mask a year and a half ago. Even during the worst flu seasons, the doctors and nurses were not walking around at the pediatricians' offices all with masks on. The science hasn't changed. Viruses haven't changed. The masks haven't changed. So why are they going along with all this stuff? Well, I got maybe what's a small insight as to why there's such widespread uptake of this stuff. So I spoke to somebody with knowledge of the situation. I report on a lot of stuff. I report a lot of things that investigative reporters do. So I don't really know the lingo. But I don't think I was not given the liberty to give you the exact details of this. But I'll just tell you, I got somebody who's familiar with the situation to explain what's going on with hospital profits over the past couple of years. And this is why I tell you, this pandemic is going nowhere. Because it's good for business. It's good for business. Local hospital here, as was reported to me, their profits, I would imagine they're a non-profit in their organizational structure. And so profits have to be, you know, divvied out and all those things. The profits of this hospital each year are somewhere between up $1 million or down $1 million. So, you know, pretty close to break even for an operation that I'm sure is doing hundreds of millions to billions of dollars in billing. You know how expensive medical care is. It probably doesn't take very much to get into the billions of dollars on an annual basis for a large hospital. So for most normal years, their profit would fluctuate anywhere from a loss of $1 million up to a profit of $1 million, hovering right there around the break-even point. Last year, what do you think this hospital's profit was? Don't go crazy on the number. I already tried this with somebody here in the station, and they made this outrageous guess. With all the money sloshing around and how big numbers are right now, it's certainly understandable. But where a where this particular hospital generally makes between negative $100 to a positive $100, essentially they break even every year, their profits for 2020 were $8 million. Huh. Isn't that interesting? But here's the kicker. What are their profits for this past fiscal year, for 2021? $32 million. A hospital that generally just breaks even went from essentially break even to $8 million in the first year of the pandemic, or the first fiscal year that they had when the pandemic was in play. And now they're at $32 million in profits. Isn't that interesting? Now, these are the same hospitals and I mean, they're all doing it, not naming any names here, but these are all the same hospitals that have breathlessly reported to us about the beds and the staff. You know, we know their constant refrain of, this thing is going to kill us all. Doctors out there telling you get the jab or you're going to die. The jab is obviously shown to do nothing but probably prolong this pandemic because I don't know where we'd be on natural immunity had we not tried to interrupt it with this science experiment they're doing on people right now, but Israel has certainly shown a robust vaccine program, not especially good for cases, is it? Israel is the hot spot in the world right now as one of the most heavily vaccinated societies on planet Earth. And so if you believe, and this goes across the spectrum, hospitals, medical groups, pharmaceutical companies, if you believe for one single second that these companies are all going to see record-breaking profits, including the states who are awash in COVID cash, the school boards that are awash in COVID cash, if you believe for one second all of these groups are just going to, when this disease just goes away, or at the first sign of normalcy, they'll go, oh, okay, we'll all go back to making no money or very little money. You're insane if you believe that that's going to happen. All of the financial incentives at the people who are driving this bus of hysteria, all of the financial incentives are lined up to go forward with ever more increasing emergency measures. You understand that everybody, who are we listening to? Who is the media putting on television? Who are the politicians talking to? Who owns the politicians? They're owned by the hospital groups. They're owned by the pharmaceutical companies. They're owned by the education establishment and the unions. All of the financial incentives at the people who are setting policies are all in one direction, and that is for the most serious, the most widespread pandemic possible, with the most fear. There is probably some direct correlation between the number of cases and the dollars for each one of these groups. We already know this is the case with hospitals. If they diagnose somebody with COVID, when they come in, they get an extra, what is it, 13 grand for a COVID diagnosis, 39 grand to put somebody onto a ventilator. So you think they're not going to pursue COVID cases? You think they don't want that extra? I mean, and there's a lot of people who will say things like, well, you know, they're not evil. They wouldn't do this purposefully. I mean, yeah, this is the way it's played out. Have you ever noticed in all of these issues, it's kind of like wars. I talked the other day about how Eisenhower saw coming out of World War II when the armament industry looked and went, holy crap, look what we make when there's a war. And now we've got this manufacturing thing figured out. And we've had war ever since. Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War I, Cold War, Gulf War II, War on Terror. You are going to see a healthcare, what I like to describe as the medical mafia. They're looking at this pandemic and going, holy crap. I mean, we knew we were going to make a few extra bucks off of this deal, but we had no earthly idea. See, the reason that we've been at war constantly after the armaments industry, the defense contractors realized how fat that cow is. It's the same reason that we're going to have these endless streams of pandemics, hysteria, vaccinations, because this is good for business. They're not going to let you go back to normal unless you force it. We never forced the armaments industry to stand down. We kept cheering. We kept cheering when they said we're going to boost military budgets. Yeah. The guys at the Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and General Dynamics boardrooms must just laugh and laugh and laugh when they see a Republican rally and everybody cheering for another $50 billion a year in defense spending. They are probably sitting around the board watching some of these like Trump rallies or any of them, any of the Republicans that go out there and campaign on this stuff. They're probably just sitting around there and they've all got brochures for boats and vacation homes they're looking at. And they're waiting to see how loud the crowd cheers. And that's how they determine what value of new boat or vacation home they can get. This pandemic's going nowhere. Because none of these groups that have been benefiting, and it goes all the way up to Wall Street. We've bailed out Wall Street. We've bailed out airlines. We've bailed out cruise ships. We've bailed out cities. We've bailed out states. We've bailed out just trillions of dollars flowing out there to everybody. There's pastors out there getting money for this stuff. There's TikTok influencers getting money to hype this stuff. There's late night comedians getting money to keep the panic going. Nobody is going to upset that gravy train. And it's us that's getting played. We're not getting any money from it. The American consumer, I don't want to call us the American consumer, which is really what we are, but the American middle class, Main Street, they pay the price for all of this. The labor shortages, the inflation, we take it on the chin. They are knocking the cover off the ball. Again, a local hospital usually comes close to break even, maybe makes $1 million a year. They're now on track to make $32 million this year. So you sit around on your hands just thinking, this will be over any minute now. They're going to let my kid out of a mask. I don't want to cause a fuss. People might look at me funny. I am here to tell you, and the fall is coming. Holy cow. These hospitals are looking at this money going, oh my gosh, we're making 32 times the profits we did before, and we're not even into the big fall and winter spike. This is going to be great. When I get into next hour, now we're also talking about this Spanish flu comparison. The new fear word of the day is it's killed more than the Spanish flu. I made a typo here, and on my notes it says Spanish Fly comparison. I wish it was that upbeat, that positive. Anybody know what a Spanish Fly is? Is that an old term? I don't know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It's kind of funny. But anyway, we're going to talk about this comparison to the Spanish flu. Because this is the new fear campaign. And I'll show you why, number one, these numbers are all wrong. But number two, why was the Spanish flu so darn deadly? Well, it's probably not what you're thinking. I'll be right back. All right, we're going to get into these Spanish flu stuff at the top of the hour. Hang in there with me. But this is when I talk about the money coming around this stuff, and you just need to understand that this is driven by cash for a lot of the minions out here. Now, I don't know what the grand plan is of the Faucis and, you know, the World Economic Forum and their Great Reset. There's a lot of nefarious players at the top of this. But down here at the community level, hospitals are making a lot of money. I would assume that doctors are making a lot of money. God knows nurses are some nurses are killing it. Very, very strange dynamic in the nursing market right now where, you know, you may be at your hospital making $30 an hour, but when they bring in traveling nurses, they're making $120 an hour. So the local nurse gets ticked off because the traveling nurse is making four times what they do. So the local nurse quits and she just travels 50 miles down the road so that she can get it's like we're wife swapping here. We're nurse swapping. It's just a complete mess. But there is so much money sloshing around this COVID stuff. Nobody's going to willingly give that up. It's just like the pharmaceutical companies. There is a reason they don't cure diseases. There's no money in the cure. There is no money in letting go of this pandemic. And I was talking about Black Lives Matter, understanding that these vaccine passports are going to be utilized to discriminate and harass and control the black community. I would say to them, it's not a racial issue. Believe me, I will be the same second-class citizen as anybody else, even with my white privilege. Does my white privilege trump my unvaccinated status? I'm not sure how that plays out. In the hierarchy of me moving about society, do I get to use my white privilege to avoid the vaccine passport? I'll try that next time I try to get on an airplane or a cruise ship. I believe the black community overestimates the white privilege card. Or as I said, I've never been in one of the meetings. Nobody showed me how to use the white privilege card. But they're coming for the black community. Adopt a school program is a component of CCVP, Mississippi Department of Health, was recently awarded funding from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to ensure greater equity and access to coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, vaccine by those disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Mississippi State Department of Health needs the assistance of enrolled immunization providers to administer COVID-19 vaccination within your local communities. And what this basically is the CDC has sent out money to start jabbing minority communities. And companies will jump on this. Apparently it's $75 for every minority member that they jab with an experimental vaccine. And so they're setting up these workshops. Let me see here. My buddy Sarah just sent me a list of some of the ones they're doing. As a graduate of Murrah High School, I say to my fellow Mustangs out there, be careful. They're coming for you. They're going to be at Murrah. Or they've already been there. These are all August dates. They've already made their way through Murrah, Callaway, Lanier, Jim Hill, Provine, Forest Hill, Wingfield. So they're going to this community that is rightfully vaccine hesitant, and they're saying, well, we'll get the kids. We'll go ahead and get them on this treadmill. They're going to live longer anyway. What do we need a bunch of old black people for? They're going to die before long. If we can get the kids into the medical system and 15, 16, 17, and make sure we're going to give them a shot. I mean, they've got another 60 years to live. Three shots a year. I'm sure they're crunching the numbers at the pharmaceutical companies. I don't know how many times I've said it on the show. They're coming for your kids. Apparently, they've already come through Jackson Public Schools. And I would like to know how much parental involvement has been in this. I talked last night with Sarah, and she said, essentially, you can go on and just You can go online and say, yeah, let my kid come get the shot. Free Krispy Kremes. That was one poor girl, I think she was 16 years old, 18 years old, I reported on last week. Her parents didn't want her to get the jab, but she could do it without parental consent. And she really wanted that free dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme. She's permanently disabled now. Her quote is, I just want my life back. Young boys, young males have a 6 times more likely chance of getting myocarditis than having a poor COVID outcome. But that's not stopping every one of these Jackson Public Schools from lining up these kids to get these jabs. Not to mention the masks. Still looking for somebody out of Jackson Public Schools who's interested in getting their kids out of the mask. It appears to be non-existent. I've gotten a lot of people from the suburbs, nobody from the city. I guess the masks are fine. I'm telling you, you're damaging your kids. When I come back, though, I'm going to show you this comparison to the Spanish flu. They're trying to scare you with this. It's just not true.
No phone, no phone. I just want to be alone today.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I wonder things. I'm very interested in human nature and what motivates people to do certain things. I found myself during the last break as we talk about this rollout. The CDC has sent the Mississippi State Department of Health this money, and they're giving it to people to inoculate these kids in our schools, primarily minority kids. It's $75 a pop. Now, the shot is, air quotes here in the studio, free. We know that just really means we're putting it on our grandchildren's tab, along with the rest of the debt we're incurring in this country. So at $75 they had, if this is this existential threat to the United States and a real danger to our children, why does somebody need $75 per child to do anything about it? I mean, haven't most of us probably volunteered our time? I spent years volunteering at a group called Gleaners. If you're looking for something to do with your charity dollars, check out Gleaners. They do great work in getting food to shelters, battered woman shelters, rehabs, all kinds of stew pot, places like that. And what it was that I owned a business at the time, so I had time to go volunteer during the day. So I made my money in my business, but then I did this kind of just as a human being. I thought that maybe I could help with something, and most of us listening have all volunteered our time for something. It's very interesting that during COVID, this thing that they tell us is this life or death thing, everybody wants, seemingly in the medical system, they want to really get paid for helping people. I mean, they were already making money doing a bunch of stuff. I mean, the pharmaceutical companies already made billions of dollars. If they are now this benevolent, charitable organization saving the world with their vaccines, why would they charge anything? Wouldn't this be the best PR ever? Instead, they charge it. They're making hundreds of billions of dollars off these vaccines. With full liability protection, I might add. All of the upside, none of the risk. Works out that way if you get to a certain level in our society. But I just find it interesting. Why this $75 per kid? Wouldn't you save a kid's life for free? Very interesting. Very interesting. So the news came out yesterday. At least this is the first time I saw it, and I knew they were going to start hyping it, so I saw several headlines. More Americans have died from COVID than from the Spanish flu. This will be the talking point, I'm sure, will be on the media this weekend and all the weekend shows. I'm sure Joy Reid has got this at the top of every page she reads on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, all of them. Well, number one, we know these numbers are ridiculous, all right? We know that people that went into the hospital with a heart attack who were found to be so-called COVID positive with the flawed PCR test were a case, and if they succumbed to the heart attack or the car accident or the gunshot, but they tested positive for COVID, they went into the COVID deaths. We've documented this now for 18 months. We have no idea how many of those there were, but there's even admissions from hospital groups and other places that I've seen numbers from 50 to 70% of people who were diagnosed with COVID had died or did COVID was a it was an add-on. It was just a positive PCR test on top of some other disease that was going to take somebody out. So we know the numbers are ridiculous. But even using their own numbers, I thought we'd take a look at the Spanish flu real quick and then tie that to another issue we talk about here on a lot of the show. It wasn't the Spanish flu that killed a bunch of people. The majority of deaths during the influenza, and I'm going to use this particular report is on the National Institutes of Health website, the NIH.gov. The majority of deaths during the influenza pandemic of 1918 to 1919 were not caused by the influenza virus acting alone, report research from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, that's the NIAID, that's the little outfit that the mini Mengele Anthony Fauci runs. They say part of the National Institutes of Health. Instead, most victims succumbed to bacterial pneumonia following influenza virus infection. The pneumonia was caused when bacteria that normally inhabit the nose and throat invaded the lungs along a pathway created when the virus destroyed the cells that line the bronchial tubes and lungs. The published reports, quote, clearly and consistently implicated secondary bacterial pneumonia caused by the common upper respiratory flora in most influenza fatalities. Again, this is for the Spanish flu, says Dr. Morens, pathologist of the time. He adds, we're nearly unanimous in the connection that deaths were not caused directly by the then unidentified influenza virus, but rather resulted from severe secondary pneumonia caused by various bacteria. Absent the secondary bacterial infections, many patients might have survived, experts at the time believed. This is on the National Institutes of Health website. So where does that lead us? Okay, Mike. So it wasn't the flu, but it was the bacteria that was caused by the flu. Here is something that I just think is a... You know, I tell you, I don't think Americans are very good at connecting the dots. This is a report from the... this is PubMed. So these are peer-reviewed articles, pubmed.ncbi.nlm.nih.gov, National Institutes of Health website. Again, this is a PubMed study. The title of this study is, Surgical Masks is a Source of Bacterial Contamination During the Operative Procedures. I'll have to pull this up and see what the date of this was, but it was prior to COVID and this the new science of masking not being a problem. The many articles have been read. You got to really dig on the internet to find it, but a lot of articles have been written about the fact that one of the things that killed a lot of people in the Spanish flu of 1918 to 1919 was, anyone? Yes, you're right. You just heard me say it. Bacterial infections, bacterial pneumonia. Bacterial pneumonia caused by anyone? A lot of people talked about it during the 1918-1919 flu. The bacterial pneumonia caused by the masks that people wore during 1918-1919. Here again is the study. This is on the National Institutes of Health website, a PubMed article. Results. This is their study again. The title of it is Surgical Masks Are a Source of Bacterial Contamination During Operative Procedures. Results. The bacterial count on the surface of SMs, which is surgical masks, increased with extended operating times. Significant difference was found between the 4 to 6 hour and 0 hour groups. When we analyzed the bacterial counts from the same surgeon, a significant increase was noted in the 2 hour group. Moreover, the bacterial counts were significantly higher among the surgeons than the operating room itself. Understand what that means? It means that this mask was gathering bacteria. The bacteria wasn't even in the room itself, but this breathing in and out of this mask, sucking stuff in, trapping it inside the mask, and then where would it go? Anyone? A mask that is covering your nose and mouth and you're inhaling this bacterial overgrowth inside the mask, where does it go? Anyone? Into the nose and into the mouth. And from there, where? Anyone? How about the lungs? Causing bacterial pneumonia. Moreover, the bacterial counts were significantly higher among the surgeons than the operating room itself. Additionally, the bacterial count of the external surface of the second mask was significantly higher than that of the first one. Conclusions of this study on the National Institutes of Health website. The source of bacterial contamination in surgical masks was the body surface of the surgeon rather than the OR, the operating room environment. Moreover, we recommend that surgeons should change the mask after each operation, especially those beyond 2 hours. Double-layered surgical masks or those with excellent filtration function may also be a better alternative. This was in an operating room setting, and they found that these surgeons couldn't wear a mask for more than 2 hours without it being contaminated with bacteria. In 1918-1919, one of the things they rolled out, now you would think back then, the, air quotes here in the studio, science, wouldn't have been as thorough. Obviously, science has made some level of advancement over the years. So you would think back in 1918-1919, really one of the first big pandemics that the United States had ever seen, that maybe they would try the mask. I will admit, when you talk about something floating through the air, the idea of putting a mask on seems like maybe that would be a good idea. Of course, when you realize the size of a virus particle, when it becomes aerosolized, you realize that the masks are completely worthless. And study after study has shown that. But what ended up killing most Americans in 1918-1919 was not the virus itself, as the NIH website just told you. It was bacterial infections. And a lot has been written about that because they were forcing their people to wear masks. So, fast forward 100 years. What have we decided to do? We've got another influenza style, a viral, aerosolized disease. And what are we doing, even to our children? We are trapping them in these masks that even the National Institutes of Health said, no bueno after 2 hours, and we're trapping them in for 8 hours a day. Most kids aren't washing them in the first place. They're wearing them repeatedly for day after day. And strangely enough, we have big outbreaks of RSV. I read the reports yesterday on the Kim Wade Show and this past weekend of the study on the NIH website that showed that these masks were actually a conduit for transmission. Probably another reason the 1918-1919 Spanish flu was as bad as it was. It's almost like the Anthony Faucis, the Thomas Dobbs, the medical mafia of the world, again, in light of my first hour showing you all of the money they're making off of this thing, it's almost like they looked at the 1918-1919 pandemic and said, how do we keep this thing going? How do we really get it to spread? How do we create a lot of sickness? And they all came to the same conclusion, masks. If we put everybody in masks, give them this false sense of security, let the bacteria really fester inside that thing, we should see our hospitals full and profitable for years to come. So this idea that this is somehow more deadly, more horrible for the American people than the Spanish-American flu is absolutely on its face ridiculous. Most people listening to me understand that. But the masks are the vector. And it's why we're trying to get them off of our kids' faces. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress, the way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You know, I've been pretty relentless on this mask issue, particularly when it comes to our kids now for a couple of weeks. And you know, I've got to add some variety to the show. There's other things going on. We'll talk about them. But I swear to you, my thinking is, my mentality is kind of like, you know, if you were to go over to somebody's house for a tea party or watch a football game, and everybody's sitting around drinking beer, talking and joking and laughing, but over in the corner, somebody is mercilessly whipping a child. I know you would say something about it, but if nothing changed and they were still over there whipping the child, it'd be very difficult for me to just pretend that wasn't happening, and then just watch the football game and chat about everything else. I think I would be really focused until they stopped whipping the child. This is what I feel like with this mask issue, because our children are right now sitting in classes suffering in these things. And so it's very hard for me to pretend it's not happening right now. Because it's so stupid. I mean, it is so stupid. I just feel like there's got to be a way that people will just wake up to this and see it. But this is across a whole host of different issues. I don't know how many conversations I've had with friends. I mean, and God love the people that I am around. And I don't self-select. I've got friends who disagree with me on masking, on vaccines. I've not cut them out of my life, but I've just got so many people that are texting me just, you know, over the past 6 months. I don't know how many texts and conversations I've had with people where we were just saying, what is going on? What is happening to this world? I mean, our normal friends are buying into this hysteria and changing their lives. I mean, it's just, you know, it is friends like that that keep you sane. I tell you what, you can have all the money in the world, but nothing is a substitute for friends, and particularly sane friends in this particular time we're going through right now. Speaking of Bizarro World, I haven't seen it. I didn't have a chance during the break to even look at it, but I guess Joe Biden has made his address to the UN. I didn't see it. I guess it's been happening since I've been on the show. Did they get his meds right? You know, there is some cocktail they put this man on, and they can get 5 to 7 minutes. They can get about 5 to 7 strong minutes out of Joe Biden in a speech. I would imagine there's some Adderall involved. I don't know, but it's a potent cocktail to get this this patient, essentially, this mentally addled patient, to stand up in front of the entire world and deliver a speech. I saw the headline today: high stakes speech for Joe Biden in front of the world today. I just thought, oh good Lord, please no! Somebody pull a fire alarm! Don't let him speak. I see a story here. As I say, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I assume he made it. But whatever this chemical cocktail that they're using to get this guy through a speech, I mean, I bet you it's something. They probably consulted the truckers. You know, it's pretty widely known that truckers, long-haul truckers, they need a boost from time to time. Not always probably the most legal boost, but I can't remember. I read a statistic one year, and this is not to demean truckers. Look, they are the lifeblood of this country, and I really wish they would stand up for our rights like they're doing in Australia, start shutting down highways and making a big deal, particularly over vaccine mandates. There shouldn't be a highway moving in New York State right now. The truckers should have shut the place down on these vaccine passports. But, you know, God love our truckers. But I read a statistic. It was high of the number of truckers that were on something that probably wouldn't pass a P-test in order to get their load delivered from place one to place two. I mean, it was high. I'm just going to – I'll leave it at that. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Good morning. This is Buddy, and I'm conspiracy mad anyway. But, look, you don't realize that you're talking about history. If you will – I am a big student of history. I watch a lot of things, especially on World War II, not so much the war, but the politics. In the last couple of years of Hitler's life, he was almost incoherent during the daytime, and they shot him up with a cocktail before he made speeches. Part of it was methamphetamine.
Right.
And it would only last maybe an hour. And then it went away, and he became a vegetable again. And I'm going to tell you something. I do not hate Mr. Biden. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I've got other stories today. I believe that Joe Biden is set up to be the fall guy. Now, I don't like him. He's got a whole career of nothing but corruption and just sucking off the American taxpayer. He is a blood-soaked monster war criminal. I have no love lost for the man, but I do believe they are setting him up as a fall guy. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
He can hide his own Easter eggs now. And look, my dad was in his later 80s, 87, and he began to develop sundowners. And I don't know if you've ever been around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of, you know, after my father had a brain injury, and, you know, Joe Biden has had like two open skull surgeries. They pretended that that's never existed during the election, never brought it up, but he's had some surgeries. But I see a lot of things in Joe Biden that really remind me of what was going on with my father after his brain injury.
Yes, sir. And I can understand some memory stuff and all. I have some TBI service related, and I boxed, paid my way through college, and so I have some head injuries from that. And I forget things. But I can remember my father was just, he got the patterns like Biden, and I'm talking about like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
He would be talking coherently, and he would just drift off into something else. He would stop. He didn't know where he was, and it was sad. And I would, Mr. Biden is not in charge. There's other powers that be. And he is the head, and I'm going to tell you something. This whole leadership of his, whoever's doing it, lost anything with me when they abandoned and murdered 13 of my brothers.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I believe that true. But, you know, don't let the last three presidents who led over Afghanistan off the hook, because our troops have been dying over there for 20 years. And I think the singular focus on these 13, as tragic as it was and as stupid as it was, you know, there's, what, 3,000 of our troops that were killed in Afghanistan by Bush and Obama, too. So,
well follow the history on some. You know, Vietnam War was winding down, and I've always believed that was over opium and the CIA, and that's just my brain. But Brown and Root supplied everything to the military then. Lady Bird Johnson owned 51%. Who was it after that that Cheney owned a big hunk of?
Halliburton.
Okay, he was getting rich. Who's getting rich? Who has been getting rich from this war? And if folks think this is the last one, no, it's going to pop up again, and we're going to go again.
Well,
it's always
about
the money.
Yeah, I was talking at the beginning of the show about the fourth turning, not with great authority, because I haven't actually read the book. I just read excerpts of it. I'm fascinated. I need to just buckle down and read the dang thing. But each one of those fourth turnings was marked by a big war, too, starting with the Revolutionary War. Then the next fourth turning was the Civil War. Then the next fourth turning was the World War II. And I would imagine with the way things are going right now, they are going to take us to another war. That's how this thing goes, and that's why I caution everybody. I know nobody's a fan of China, but this idea that we need to face off with them militarily or face off with Iran, which could kick off stuff with China and Russia at the same time, cool your jets. China is an economic basket case. Let them fall on their own. But, yeah, I believe they're going to try to take us to another war.
If you would allow me, let me say something from an old war dog view. When we had World War One, I don't know why we were there. World War II was economic again, and, you know, Billy Mitchell got court-martialed for saying the Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor. Well, 20 years later, he was proved right. We won that one because we bombed them back to the Stone Age. Well, beginning in Korea, we fought people that the leadership doesn't understand. In Vietnam, the leadership did not understand. You can't bomb somebody that lives in the Stone Age back to the Stone Age. You have to fight on their level, and you've got to have black flag. You cannot give quarter because they don't. You have to become as inhumane and as big a monster as they are.
Well,
we're fighting in the Middle East. These people have no qualms about putting women and children between them and fire. And we have this Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture here, European culture, where we have to be merciful in war.
I got to tell you, I take a totally different tact on that. First of all, I believe the wars are not meant to be won anyway. They're meant to be perpetual, as George Orwell told us years and years and years ago. But the other thing is, too, you talk about going black flag on everybody and really, and I understand the sentiment and the thinking there. But we shouldn't have been there in the first place. So if you go into a country, why do you go black flag on somebody and decimate them and bring them to their knees when they never did anything to you in the first place? Iraq didn't do anything to us. Afghanistan didn't do anything to us. Syria hasn't done anything to us. Iran hasn't done anything to us. So the idea that what we really need to do when we go over there for the wrong reasons or no reason at all except to enrich the war profiteers is really lay waste to them is really sits very, very uncomfortably with me.
Yes, sir. Well, what I'm saying is, though, we have not been in, there's never a just war, but World War II, we were drawn into it, and that could have been a setup.
Yep.
But these others, like I say, I firmly believe that Vietnam was about the drug traffic in the Golden Triangle. So, and I believe in the Middle East, it's been about oil and drugs over there.
pipelines and opium, right? I mean, there's always reasons, but it certainly was never American national security interests whatsoever.
We should not have been there. We shouldn't be there. And if anything, I'd be in isolation. If they decide to jump on us and come here, let's smite them hip and thigh. The politicians are profiteering. That's why I mentioned Brown and Root. It was about the money.
Right.
Yeah. And young men are nothing but cannon fodder.
Exactly.
I mean, I've been there. Nobody cares.
Yeah. No, like I said at the very beginning of the show, look, a lot of people behind a lot of big walls and in armor-plated SUVs are calling the shots, and they've always put the little people out on the front lines, and for some reason we've been putting it up with it. We got a few thousand people in this country running the lives and sacrificing financial fortunes and physical fortunes of 330 million people, and for some reason the 330 million people just go, okay. But anyway, hey, buddy, I appreciate it. I got to jump
all
to
right,
a break.
Thanks
for the call, man. Thanks. Bye. All right, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. Buddy, actually, his call last segment was a good segue because I've been kind of pulling this story from show to show, not having time to get to it, but something is going on. They're setting up Biden as a fall guy. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but you want to talk about a throwaway Democrat. If you want to pull off some really unpopular stuff, you really want to, you know, find somebody you can lay a bunch of stuff on but not implicate other people. That's Joe Biden. He's in his late 70s. His political career is certainly on its twilight. And so I think they're going to lay a lot of stuff on him in the end. And one of the signs was, first of all, it is not a mistake that the media hated everything Donald Trump did or said except when he bombed somebody. Remember when he bombed Syria for no reason? But he hired a bunch of warmongers around him that convinced him to do it. That was when the media loved him. They said he was acting presidential. They were so proud. He's finally coming into his own. It was only when he was bombing somebody. That's the only time they liked him. The first thing that was a crack in the armor of Joe Biden, they covered up for him during the campaign, during the election. They've carried water for him up until the time he actually pulled the troops out of Afghanistan. And then the media just piled on. They could have ignored, like they ignore so many huge stories. They could have ignored any problems of the Afghanistan exit and pretended it didn't happen. They do this with everything all the time. But ending a war, they came after Joe Biden. This just shows you the bloodthirsty media that we have, which is largely sponsored by the same corporations that own all the defense contractors. The media is the war machine. And Fox is one of the worst in it, but certainly not alone. But the other thing that really should be a stark example of how they are going to make Joe Biden a sacrificial lamb, particularly around these war issues, was the way they came after him about this drone strike that killed this family. I mean, the New York Times is criticizing him. This story was on Zero Hedge less than 1 week after the New York Times presented comprehensive evidence that the Biden administration murdered an entire family of civilians on August 29th, a drone strike in Kabul. The Pentagon is apologizing. And when the New York Times goes on and says, oh, you killed this family. And the reason I say that is because this has been going on for 20 years. Actually, this has been going on for probably about 80 years in the Middle East. America has been killing innocent civilians. Not you and me. It's not a blame America. You didn't just turn into some radical leftist show. I am somebody who believes we have a Christian nation with a strong moral principles that have been propagandized out of us to accept endless death at our hands, the hands of this deep state foreign policy team. So this was tragic. The CENTCOM commander, General Kenneth McKenzie, says, it was a mistake and I offer my sincere apology. They wiped out a family of 10. They're saying up to 7 children were killed. He said it failed to hit a suspected Islamic State militant and instead droned a family of a U.S. NGO aid worker, killing 7 children and 3 adults. Quote, this strike was taken in the earnest belief that it would prevent an imminent threat to our forces in the evacuees at the airport, but it was a mistake, and I offer my sincere apology. As the combatant commander, I am fully responsible for the strike and this tragic outcome. Has anybody seen this guy perp walked? If he is accepting responsibility for this, he should be sitting in a jail cell right now, ready to go on trial at The Hague. That's a war crime, to murder innocent civilians. And Americans, too largely on the right, have looked at these things and went, well, Mike, that's just war. It's ugly. There's collateral damage. Would you feel the same way if China killed your family and seven of your child relatives? And this has been going on now, as I say, in the Middle East for the past 30 years, since the beginning of Gulf War I, there have been innocent civilians killed in mistakes, in collateral damage. So why are they actually picking on the Biden? And I'm not carrying water for Biden. Joe Biden is a blood-soaked war criminal. He's voted for every one of these wars. When he was vice president, he was involved in these wars, kicked off the whole catastrophe in Syria. During Clinton administration, 500,000 kids, children in Iraq were killed. 500,000 children. So this seven children, tragic as it is, I wish that every single one of these, we've talked about the bombings of war, of wedding parties, the bombings of schools and hospitals, all accidents. And for some reason, America doesn't pay a price. The commanders don't pay a price for this stuff. You think they'd be, it's kind of like the pharmaceutical companies. I believe they'd put out safer products if they had liability for these products. Probably be a little bit more careful in indiscriminate bombing of people who did nothing to us if you actually were held accountable for murdering people when you make a mistake. I can feel conservatives turning on me with this because you believe that all U.S. military action is justified and right and morally courageous. Another headline that was out there that is just so sick. So sick. We haven't done enough to Syria. We destroyed their country. The United States and other Western countries funded and trained radical jihadists, ISIS, to rip apart the Syrian country. Syria, a country that has done nothing to us, all under the guise of he's being mean to his own people. And this just a couple of days ago, a blackout has reportedly plunged all of Syria into darkness. This was Friday into Saturday, due to an attack on a gas site and pipeline in southern Damascus. Now, I don't know who was responsible for this, but this is just a continuation of the brutal assault on the country of Syria and the millions and millions of innocent people there that have been slaughtered or displaced or their towns destroyed. We are currently still, starting with Trump and continuing through Joe Biden, stealing their natural resources, stealing their oil so they can't even rebuild. And now they've been plunged into darkness, attacking a pipeline. Syria was always about pipelines. It wasn't about Assad being mean to his own people. It wasn't about any of these things. It was about land Israel wanted, and it was about pipelines. Well, now they've plunged the entire country into darkness. It is just sick, I'm telling you. You know the psychopaths that are running our health systems right now, right? It's easy for you to identify them, the Anthony Faucis of the world. These doctors who are coming on television and telling you either get the shot or you die, which is just the off-the-charts hyperbole and fear-mongering. Well, these psychopaths have been running U.S. foreign policy for about 100 years now. Maybe now people can see it. Really, really sad stuff. I'm just saying, something's going on. They are going to take a bunch of really horrific things. They're all going to tie them to Joe Biden. He's going to go down. I don't know if it's going to be physically or he's going to be impeached and his own party's going to turn on him. I just feel like they are setting him up for a fall, and he's the perfect guy for it because he doesn't know what's going on. He can't fight back. They're just waiting to spring this on him. And when even the media is turning on Joe Biden, you know, something is afoot. I don't know what they have planned. As I said, I had a dream that Hillary became our president. Excuse me, a nightmare. So I don't know what's going on, but they're doing something with Biden. We've got to keep our eyes on this because I'm scared of what would come after him. As bad as he is, I believe there's something worse coming behind him. We'll be right back. All right, final few minutes of the show today. I want to remind everybody, tonight is this grassroots leadership. Can't remember what the last word is. It's GLA. Grassroots Leadership Academy. It's basically activist training for people on the right that might want to start fighting for their freedom. I don't know if you ever feel like it. You ever get the feeling we're headed towards some level of totalitarianism with mandates? I kind of feel that way. Maybe people other than Antifa and Black Lives Matter ought to learn how to organize and get together and fight against some of these things. If you want to do that, Americans for Prosperity is starting their training tonight. Let me see. I just ask. You can go to go on Facebook. I don't have Facebook up on my computer here. But you go to Facebook and look for Americans for Prosperity Foundation Mississippi. And I think that will take it to you. You can sign up for the class or... they've got a limited number of spots. I have no earthly idea how many people will attend. I know some of the people fighting the school board stuff are going to be there. But look for on Facebook, Americans for Prosperity Foundation, Mississippi, on Facebook, and it should get you there. If you don't find that or whatever, you can email me, MikeMadison@WIAB.com, and just say, you know, address or details or whatever, and I'll have them. I don't have their office address right in front of me. It's in the Woodlands in Ridgeland, right there off of County Line Road, the big Woodlands office park. So if you want to join us, it starts at 6 o'clock tonight. I believe there's 6 Tuesday night one-hour sessions. If you attend 4 of them, they say they'll give you some kind of level of certification. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going for a resume builder. I'm going to learn how to organize parents to free their children from these ridiculous masks and then stop a vaccine passport for our kids in the schools in its tracks. Did you see that? I mean, in Washington, D.C., and, you know, a lot of these things do not flow down to red state Mississippi. But for you Jackson public school parents, you better be careful because Jackson, Mississippi is a lot like Washington, D.C. They're now doing essentially vaccine passports. If you're a parent, you can't go into the school where your child is without a vaccine now. Believe that is what they said. Can you imagine that? They have your children inside a building and you are not allowed access because you aren't part of the experiment. I just imagine being a parent. My child texts me for some reason. They've got an emergency at the school. I show up and they say, you can't come in here where your child is. You know, I tell you, don't attack hostesses or store clerks who tell you you got to wear a mask or any of this other stuff. It's not their fault. They, you know, talk to them. Maybe you can convince them, but it's the upper level people. But I got to tell you, any school administrator who would try to keep me out of a building where my child has told me that they need me, my child in a government, taxpayer-funded building, they tell me I can't come in because I haven't had a shot that is basically meaningless. Shot doesn't stop you from contracting or spreading the disease. I got to tell you, it would be on then. That would be a problem for anybody that tried to stop me. But they're doing this. And this is why conservatives and even Democrats, I mean, this should be a nonpartisan issue. I talk to a largely conservative audience, but this should be nonpartisan. Everybody should understand, you better stand up for your rights. And this includes the most Democrat, the most whatever community, as opposed to Donald Trump or conservatism, whatever. You're going to suffer the same indignities and tyranny that the rest of us are. And electing more left-wing leaders, I don't know if you've noticed over the past 18 months, that's not going to work. It's actually going to make the situation worse. They're the most enthusiastic tyrants out there right now, outside of our own medical mafia. Anyway, they'll start this training tonight, but I would imagine you could join maybe next week. Again, it's just 1 hour on Tuesday. Again, it's Americans for Prosperity Foundation, Mississippi, on Facebook, and you can find this grassroots leadership academy thing. The right needs to start getting mobilized. Let's see, I've only got a couple of minutes left. I didn't want to do this. Second Tuesday in a row, I've had some stuff lined up for my Tech Tuesday segment. But I'm just going to do this one real fast because it's another Mike Madison prediction closer to coming true. I believe I've got a great record over my time here at WIAB. I really do. I called all of Trump's bad hires when they were first even mentioned. Everybody told me I was wrong. And to a person, they all left the administration either in disgrace or, well, almost all of them. Mike Pompeo, people still think he's your friend. But anyway, I've gotten a lot of things right, I believe. And this is another one. There's an article that came out. People will prefer Let me get into this thing here. A poll by data company Tito, out of 1,200 people surveyed, 42% of respondents said they would have sex with a robot. Males are more open to boinking a silicon robot. At least 48% of them said they would have sexual intercourse with a humanoid bot. Only 33% of females said they would. I've been talking about this for years. If these sex robots ever get good, it's the end of humanity. For men and women. I mean, if they make these things really, really lifelike, I mean, that look like people, you know, futuristic, we're a long way away from it. But you know, these polls are showing that people are already starting to get a little open to it. Somebody that doesn't argue with you, that always tells you how good looking you are, that cooks for you, runs errands for you. You mean to tell me people are going to turn their back on that for one of us flawed human beings? I got to tell you, this sex robot thing, this is real. It's dangerous. It's years and years and years away. But so was social media back in 2000, and look what it's done to us. This could come at us faster than we think. We'll see if it's going to take 20 years to find out if that prediction's right, but I'm telling you, that's a big danger. That's all the time I've got for today. Join us tonight at Grassroots Leadership Academy. If you don't, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.